ultimately, see, we were producing the world around us. And the world around us is in a constant state of turmoil and pain and suffering. And I mean this in the most literal sense. See, that our delusional thinking keeps us trapped. And it keeps us trapped, see, in the world of samsara. See, what kind of a world do you live in? This is samsara. This is what you see when you look out. See, do you see that? And to the degree that you don't wake up, one way or the other, you support that world of samsara. See, in the Sharangama, somebody was just telling me today, see, that they're reading the Sharangama, and I think this is wonderful. But remember, see, when Shariputra asked Buddha, why can't I see what you see? Where is this Buddha field? See, it's here now. See, freed, see, from the restrictions, see, of the egocentric mind, the limitations, see, of the egocentric mind. You cannot, see, conceive of what this is. You can only experience, realize, and actualize. And then as you look out, see, all of a sudden you begin to see a totally different, and yet the same, but you see it in a totally different way. To the degree that we don't wake up, we support samsara. See, and that's a given fact. If you support samsara, you're going to experience pain and suffering. Fear, see, anger, greed. See, greed. See, if you think in terms, see, of what we support through the delusional mind. Now you can say, well, Nyogen, you're sort of exaggerating. But I can't imagine anything, see, from an enlightened perspective, how any of this would change. You can't understand the enlightened state, see, from a delusional state. No Buddha has ever transmitted, see, to a sentient being. Buddha can only transmit to Buddha. See, and a pathway has been given to us. See, but it is through your effort, not through somebody's magical words or magical wand. See, go out there and find somebody who's going to zap you like this and you're enlightened. Doesn't happen. See, and if it does happen, particularly those who come from these tremendously poverty-stricken countries, they should go back and cure all of the weaknesses, all of the sickness, all of the pain and suffering of the cultures that they have come from. See, there is no magical wand. See, there is simply hard work. See, hard work. And this is the path that the Buddha gave us. And you can't understand this. See, it can only be practiced. That's one of the reasons why we're a small sangha. People don't want to practice. See, even in our sangha, watch the resistance. And the excuses. I could actually bring up Buddha deals with all the excuses people use, see, for not practicing. See, but it's an amazing thing. As the practice starts to mature, you begin to experience in a different way. Thursday, Donan gave a talk that I really, really appreciated. And as from the teacher's perspective, I really appreciated that talk. See, and at one point in her hospice work, she's working with, I don't know whether you call them patients. See, we're dying. Two elderly women about the same age who had worked in the same place. And she started to talk about that and saying, well, she probably shouldn't and couldn't explain it. I'm paraphrasing loosely here. I can't explain the experience. She can't explain the experience. She tried to. But I'm quite certain it fell on deaf ears because you cannot tell people about this. I cannot tell you about my experience. I cannot tell you, see, about the relationship to Maizumi Roshi. But I can tell you that it is an amazing, wondrous world that's here. It isn't magical. It isn't a fantasy. It's not some sort of a hallucinogenic drug trip. See, the transformation takes place here. You can't explain it. I have tried to explain on occasion, and Domon was here Anto was here where I used to sort of play here sometimes, though certainly the first time I played at ZCLA and caught somebody, see, at a level of samadhi and started to play with it. And the behavior later was a disruption. But Domon and Anto were there. I don't know whether Gendo was in the group at that time. See, something occurs. Something occurs. And for this particular person, when I got outside, I knew what was waiting. And she was saying, "What is that? What is that? Is the most intimate experience I've ever had." See, what is this? When the barrier of duality starts to drop. See, there is something here that's quite remarkable. But you can't go through your fantasies of what it is. See, because for looking for something outside of who you are, where you are, as you are, that's the delusional state. What did the great Obaku say? He said, you have to push through the barrier of duality. See, and then you begin to experience the most amazing occurrences. But it's quite ordinary. Very ordinary, see. Now, when you have people who are close, there's an entanglement that's real. See, like with Mushoku, see. And sometimes, and you've heard me talk, sometimes I have started to speak, and then I realized for a minute, and on one occasion, I think I said, am I starting to sound crazy? She said, yes. And then I knew that was the time just to stop talking. See, but also just recently, see, to experience this most amazing awakened state. See, and we can discuss it. It can be discussed. And that's the language of koan practice. See, and koans are not. We had somebody here once sit up here and say it was simply nonsense. I hope that person today wouldn't say that, because it isn't nonsense. As a matter of fact, Roshi said it is the most logical speech that a human being can use. Koan practice. See, it's pointing directly at something. See, that if you can cultivate that awareness, if you can push through the ruminations of the egocentric mind, you can begin to experience the world in a remarkably different way. And you begin to be able to do good. Now Roshi would say that no matter how brilliant you are and how benign, you will still cause some trouble because you're still caught in the egocentric world. I tried to talk because, Donan, in working with the people who are dying, she's in her process of studying to be a chaplain, right? Am I following that correctly? Yeah, see. In working with the dying, see, it's an amazingly powerful place. But unfortunately, New Agey people have turned it into a circus. And this was one of the things that was very disturbing to me, that they would turn it into a circus. They will come, and I watched with this woman that I was working with, and they showed up, and their intentions, I suspect, were good. But they were having a party. See, they brought their crystals. They did all of this thing with the lady that I was... closure, having her sit and call all of her friends for closure. And it was fascinating, it was interesting, and the people flocked in, see, and it was just an amazing kind of thing. And I'm sure they were all nice people. I sat and I watched all of this. And you know what her mistake was? When you go through all of that, then you're supposed to die. See, that's closure. And then you'll feel, wow, didn't we have a great experience? But she didn't die. See, she hung on. Then she becomes a drag. See, and pretty soon fewer and fewer and fewer people came around her. See, and that was a relief to me because she could then get to the business of what she was having to deal with, was dying. Now, Donan again said something about dying. that she found her most, and again, you can shout out if I miss it, but basically to do nothing, right? See? Yeah, do you understand? That nothing isn't indifference, because Donan isn't indifferent. That non-doing state. This is what I found in working with the woman that I was there. When I went in as a Buddhist priest, I stunk it up. Not because I was a bad person, because I really did want my practice, my Buddha Dharma, to bring relief to her, because she was in really bad shape when I met her. See, Cedars-Sinai said she'd be dead in 3 days. They had her on drip morphine. She wanted a priest with her, a monk with her, while she died, and her teacher was up north, Kwan Roshi, as a matter of fact. And he called down to my teacher and asked, and nobody would go out. None of the monks wanted to go out. So I said, will you go see her? And I said, sure, why not? I couldn't see where I had any value at all unless I went out to see somebody dying. I told Roshi, what value do we have if we won't even go out, see, to be with her? See, first time, all the BS you wanted to see, I laid it out there. I talked about enlightenment. And you know, I'd been with Roshi so many years, I couldn't deceive myself. And you know what it sounded like? Horseshit. And I'm listening to myself, and I'm becoming disgusted. See? And finally, at some point, I'm looking at a lady who is emaciated to the point where her cheekbones, you could almost see serrated edges on it, her wasted away, see, hooked up to a drip morphine machine. And the doctors had told her how to turn the monitor up. Kyoji told me now that they have governors on that, so you can't do yourself in. But they had told her, see, how to turn it up. See, and then she says to me, and Yogan, they said, I'll simply go to sleep. I'll go into this nice, warm space, see, and I'll simply go to sleep. And I said, how does your doctor know that? Has he done it? Then he's a bullshit person. He doesn't know that's what you'll go through. See, he's guessing. See, because he's terrified. See, so we started to talk. And then I was so disgusted with myself that I looked at my clock and I said, you know, you've done your hour. I did my hour there. And I got up and I said, Gail, do you even want me to come back? See, and she laughed. See, she had a great sense of humor. She said, Yogan, would you please come back? And I did. And I was pissed at Roshi. He wouldn't give me the secret. You've all heard, or many of you have heard this story. Roshi, what do I do? I've got this woman. It's dying. This amazing energy. What do I do? What do I do? And he's reading a Japanese newspaper and eating an apple. Indifference. Don't you understand the importance? This woman is dying. And we're out. What do I do to make it right? See? Why doesn't Buddha Dharma transform? See? Then I got the books. Who dies? See? Something the death. And what I did, I became disgusted by the... Did you read those books? Yeah. I became disgusted by them. Exploiting one of the most amazing journeys. And then... because I was a serious practitioner, I glommed on to this like a koan. And the answer came up, what you see. There was only one person who was an expert on Gail's death. And it's Gail. Her doctors know nothing about it. See? Gail was the expert on her death. And my job was to simply sit there beside her. If she threw up on herself, I cleaned her up. If she wanted her foot massaged, I massaged her foot. If she wanted me to breathe, I breathed. That's all. I did nothing more than cultivate samadhi as I sat beside her. And then, lo and behold, the universe turned. See, I'll go quickly off, see, from this. The universe turned for her. See, and for me, it became an absolutely almost psychedelic experience. I did nothing. And she told her father that when I would come into the room, her pain would leave. She came off drip morphine. See, to begin to see this most amazing transformation that took place. When I was called into the hospital, there was no one around. She was estranged from her family. See? And the moment I got out of the way, see, Mitsuhin knows something about this. When you're sick like that, you don't harbor a lot of fantasies, do you? Don't play in there what the next big party's going to be. You're kind of wondering about the next breath. See? She is in a state of samadhi. I had to get the hell out of the way from here. I had to let this settle. And when I did, then Gail could do what Gail needed to do. And she would tell. She would touch her. And she said it was like fireworks going through her body. She lived another 7 months. We had amazing adventures. See? And through all of that, I did nothing. See? And when she died in the arms of her three children, singing the nursery songs that she used to sing to them. And this was, if there was purpose, this was the purpose. See, this amazing Buddha Dharma, non-doing, but this isn't indifference and shutting your brain down. It's vibrantly alive in this place of samadhi, as the least grain of sand on the beach, not strutting around as some kind of a self-important person. That's what I was when I went in as a Buddhist monk. See? And these trappings were just, see, the raft that I hold on while I attack the waves of samsara.